JSE-listed retail holding company Steinhoff released a quarterly update for their operations and financials between October and December 2020. The company reported sales revenue from continuing operations of 2.5 billion euros. That's up 1% on the year prior, noting revenue increases in all their geographies. Well, to give us the backstory to the business, I'm joined on the line by Theodore de Klerk. He's the CFO at Steinhoff. Thank you so much, Theodore, for joining us. Now, you have your Pepco Group operations in Europe. Just tell us broadly about the business you have there and how they've been faring and the state of the European consumer in light of the pandemic.
Evening, Nompo. Thank you.
Sure.
Yes, we've got the Pepco Group, which consists of Pepco, which is clothing and apparel stores in Eastern Europe. And they also have a chain called Poundland, which is fast-moving consumer goods, mainly in the UK and Ireland.
Now, in terms, please elaborate in terms of how the consumer's doing, etc.
Well, both all those territories were quite heavily hit with lockdowns. So it really varies from territory to territory. I think most people are under pressure post-COVID. Although our brands operate towards the lower end of the market, and we've seen quite resilience. So coming out of lockdowns in the various territories, we've seen good pent-up demand. And as you can see in the numbers from the Pepco Group, they've been growing their business, notwithstanding the fact that stores really only open towards the middle or the back end of December.
Hmm. Then, of course, there's the company we're more familiar with here in South Africa, Pepco, formerly Steinhoff Africa, which has the likes of Pep and Ackermann stores in its stable. Revenue was up 7% there. Have you found that many of your brands were quite resilient during the pandemic and, you know, given also the related restrictions?
Yeah, definitely so. And also Pepco managed to gain significant market shares. So the team there really did an incredible job. But not only did they continue to grow the business with the top line, but they've also managed liquidity exceptionally well and bringing debt levels down, as they reported with their year-end results, to less than 7 billion, which
yes.
is a significant achievement.
Yeah. It's always tricky speaking to a global player, but I do want to get a sense of how you're doing in your other territories as well, Australia, New Zealand, as well as the United States. How have those markets fared?
Australia has been most resilient. It's a very sophisticated market, and it's also the market where we were able to substitute offline sales most effectively with online sales. So Australia, especially our chain there called Fantastic Furniture, has really, really done well. America has been very, very resilient.
Hmm.
Their restrictions weren't as strict as in many other countries. Also, our American business were able to grow their online sales. They almost doubled at this percentage. So you would have seen that in dollar terms in the first quarter, we grew sales in America by 21%, which is really exceptional performance.
Mm. Just as well, you didn't get rid of the mattress firm, because I think I read somewhere that was one of the assets that you were trying to sell off.
Yes, we still own just more than 50% of that business. We restructured that in late 2018, and currently we hold 51% of that business.
Right. Now, one of the issues you're working on resolving, you know, is coming to a meeting of minds with shareholders who lost massive equity from the 2017 accounting scandal. Where are you guys with the whole litigation settlement proposal that you've advanced? What's the detail there?
So we've put a proposal out to the market. So it's really two-pronged approach. There's a proposal in the Netherlands that will be subject to a Netherlands legal process, and then there's also a South African process. Very similar. So the scheme of arrangement in South Africa process was launched a couple of weeks ago, and similarly the suspension of payments process in the Netherlands. So the terms of our offer is out in the market. Litigants must now assess the terms. We expect scheme meetings to be held towards the end of June, early July, where the creditors will be able to vote on the terms that we put to them. And if approved, and hopefully thereafter the court will sanction it, then we can implement the litigation settlement.
Hmm. Now, you may have fairly decent retail assets around the world, but then, of course, the big problem is that you're saddled with massive debt. Where does your debt currently stand, and what's the plan?
So, correct. So, the operational debt is really not our issue, because all our operations are independently funded and they service the debt.
Mm.
But the big issue is the debt that we sit with at holdings level. That's approximately 10 billion euros.
Mm.
and it's got a hefty finance cost to it. So post the legal settlement, which we believe will be successfully implemented, then we can really start focusing on addressing the debt burden. That will have to coincide with the sale of assets. We can never trade ourselves out of that debt, number. So we will have to sell some assets, some large assets, whether wholly or partially. That strategy we still have to define, and then restructure the balance sheet post that.
Yes. Now, in terms of obviously now in the South African context, we've moved to alert level one of the lockdown, which is positive. It means more economic activity. Does that change anything for you guys at all in terms of your operations?
My guess would be that it would increase footfall. Mm. So footfall is good for our stores. If I look at our South African footprint, kids going back to school is a big plus for the Pepkor Group, because they do a lot of sales in the children's market and school clothes.
Yes.
So as people start moving around, I mean, our footprint is far and wide. Hopefully the activity will also support sales.
Mm, indeed. And just in terms of course, you were reporting for the quarter October to December. We're now in 2021. What's the outlook, not just for South Africa, but all of your territories?
I think we're cautiously optimistic. Our operations have shown that they can deal with trading restrictions. But I think one's got to have a pragmatic or a very realistic outlook that should you go into a third wave in territories and stores shut down, especially our Pepco brands and mostly our Pep stores in South Africa, online sales is not a major part of our turnover.
Mm.
So if stores are closed, it does hurt turnover. So even though our management teams have been very resilient and they've got proven plans in place, one's got to be cautious so that you're ready when things happen.
Yeah. Do you think Steinhoff can be a great company again?
that's a million-dollar question.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of work ahead. We really need to find a solution for all the litigation against the group before we can start really planning the future, because it's multiple billions and there's numerous claims. So until we resolve that, it will be a bit premature to make big plans for the future.
Very true. Theodore, thank you so much for your time, sir. That was Theodore Klerk. He's the CFO at Steinhoff.